We appreciate it. I just want you to know that we have a special speaker this morning. My son-in-law, Aaron Schrepfer, was with us when we began this church. He and Rebecca, our daughter, and kids ministered to many of you and to us in those days. Aaron is the pastor of Pioneer Peak Baptist Church in Palmer, Alaska. He's also the chairman of the Alaska Baptist Association. So he has a lot of ministry there in Alaska, and they've been there 10 or so years, and that's a long time to be in Alaska. But they've come a long way to be with us for kind of a family gathering this week, so I wanted him to speak to us again after all these years. So Aaron, you come ahead. Good to have you here.
Thanks. It's good to be here this morning with all of you folks and online as well. I think the last time we were here as a family, as a whole, was 5.5 years ago. And I asked Rick, and there was still Nerf darts being found from that last time we were here. So it's good to be with all of you folks. I know I've had a few questions that way, and so I'll give a short update just on ministry up there in Alaska and how we are doing. I do appreciate all of your prayers. Thank you very much for that. I know folks have been praying for me from when I fell a couple months ago. It's just been in this last week that my heel has finally started to not give too much pain. I had 6 stress fractures there. My back is actually worse the last 2 weeks, so that happens. But yeah, the kids are all growing up, and appreciative of all of them, and yeah, you'll get to visit with them more. And I was just thinking, as Rebecca was playing the piano, Rick, and I know you can attest to this, I was looking at Natalie singing, and I'm like, she's gonna go away sometime too, and that's just not fair. And you know, and yeah, I know I took your daughter up to Alaska, but I enjoy her being up there with me. So, but you know, now I'm like, I think I can start to understand her, a little bit of empathizing of kids moving off, but serving the Lord is a great thing. This morning, we're going to be kind of in a couple different passages and looking here. I think I put in the bulletin, Build with God as a title. And so we're going to take two biblical themes that I know that Pastor Schrader has taught well, and we're going to kind of meld those two together. One theme that we do know is that God is working in us as believers. God is actively working in our lives, desiring us to grow. We call that progressive sanctification. That is not a new thing or a new concept for us, is it? God is working actively in our lives. And we should be yielded to God's working in our lives. That needs to be the case. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, and if so ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye are also as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." God is continuing to work in our lives. Ephesians 2:10, a verse we probably all could quote that way, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we are his workmanship. That's one theme that we need to hold on to this morning as we look into this working with God. The other theme is what our interaction with one another. As believers, we ought to be encouraging, edifying. Another term for that is building up one another, right? So God's building in our lives, and we are to be building in others' lives, but that also means God is also building in those others' lives that we are supposed to be building in. And so that's what we're kind of looking toward, is how are we either working with or against God in his working in somebody else's life. Because that can happen, believers. That's a sad thing when it happens, when a believer goes and tries to tear down what God's doing in somebody else's life. And that creates all sorts of problems, not only for that individual, but for yourself and further on from that. So those are some two themes that I want us to kind of hold in mind or hold in thought this morning as we get going into this. Let's go ahead and we'll just open in with a word of prayer, and then we'll keep going. Lord, we do thank you for being active in our lives, that you desire us to grow in you, that you call us to be closer unto you, Lord. And just the opportunity that we have to be an encouragement and a help to others in their walk with you. Lord, help us to never be a hindrance, but to always be a help as you are working in others' lives as well. In your son's name we pray, amen. As I look around this morning, there are several, I was going to say men and women here, that I've had an opportunity to work with, just doing physical work. And I'm thinking of some of the projects that some of us men have been able to do together in the past. This pulpit up here, I built that years and years ago. I was looking the old sound booth. I just put that together as some temporary things many years ago. Rick and I have done many projects together, and I could talk about all kinds of several of you men, just the different building projects that we have worked on together. You need a hammer. I stole this from Rick Raj. I don't know if he noticed that earlier, but you need a hammer often, right? You can. It's fun to use an illustration every once in a while, and I don't want this to be a distraction from God's word this morning, but it's a good illustration for us to have. I don't know if you know this about Rick, but he has a kind of a mini hammer collection of hammers from his grandfathers, and this one is from his grandpa Sam. And I was, when I was looking, I made sure to find one of them that was that way. So a hammer, we kind of have three main things that we think a hammer has an opportunity to do in its life as a hammer. A hammer can knock stuff down, right? It can tear things down, and that sometimes is necessary, but that would detract from the illustration this morning. So think of it just from the destructive standpoint. A hammer can be destructive that way. A hammer can just sit there and do nothing. It's of no use then, is it? It could be, I guess you could use it as a doorstop or whatnot, but a hammer cannot be used is one of the things that can happen with a hammer. And then a hammer can also be used for constructing something or building something up. And I think you already have guessed on where we are going this morning or looking at that. So I have 3 points and a bonus point as far as if you're taking notes. You got to have, throw an extra point in there. And just to let you know before we get going, I usually preach till 12:15 or so back home. I know pastor gets over about 11:30 or so, but, I'm just giving you fair warning. And as this is, I guess, an extra bonus point, it's 3 hours behind there, and my brain is still wired to that. So, does that mean we're going to about 3:15 this afternoon? No. As far as that first thing, tearing something down, and if you look in your bullet and you have that point, tearing someone down. Can you do that as a believer? Can you tear someone down? Can you actively work against what God's doing in their life? Absolutely. That happens. Happens more than what we'd like to see and like to admit. We are then actively working against God, what God is doing in that person's life. And maybe you haven't thought about it in that tenet before of God is working to build them up and you are working to tear them down. You are working against your father. I enjoy working with my father, my earthly father, side by side doing construction. I enjoy working with my earthly father-in-law. I think one of the last building projects we did, other than yesterday, we did some work. But as far as constructing something, we worked on some bookcases in his basement. And I think they're still in, you know, now in your new home there. Oh, they're over, right over there. We worked on some bookcases. And what a precious thing that is. I could ask this morning how many of you would want to have another opportunity to work side by side with your earthly father. And many of you would say, yeah, I'd love to do that. You have the opportunity to work side by side with your heavenly father as he is working in an individual's life. Well, we'll get to that point here in a minute, but you can also work against him. That is a sad state when we work against what God is doing. We can start to think through some of those areas and avenues that we work against what God is doing in someone's life. Ephesians 4, I'm going to read a few verses from here. It says, "For wherefore put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." There in verse 31, it gives a list of things that we ought to have put away from our lives. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. All of those things, if we think about that, of what those bitterness and wrath and anger, it's all usually, most of the time, dealing with interpersonal relationships, isn't it? You know, who are you going to be bitter against? Sometimes you may be bitter against what God's doing in your life, but sometimes you're also bitter about somebody else and what they have done. Some of these things are those interpersonal things that we ought to not have in our lives. It shouldn't be there. When it is there, and when we are pouring that out towards somebody else, it is tearing them down. You can start to think through some of the other areas that tear people down. Gossip is just, that's one of those things I don't like. I don't like that at all. If you want to say it's a pet peeve of mine, okay, that would be acceptable. It tears down somebody's testimony. It harms. Especially when it's those things are not true, that hurts. That's actively working against what God's doing. Oh, but Pastor, they need to hear these things. God has given me put me in their lives to tear them down so that God might build them up. That's my gift that God has given me. Well, you need to be careful on that. I think that would be presumptuous to think that God has put us here to tear people down so that he could build them up. I think it'd be more than presumptuous. There are many areas that we can tear one another down. Gossip is one. That's it. That would be an easy one that we can think of. It's a harder one not to do. Just dismissing one another. Sometimes that act is more harmful, and I know that everybody here has had somebody be dismissive of them in a time that should have been in a help and an encouragement. There's a lot of ways that we might not think about it that way, but that we are actively working, or we can be working against God. We have to be intentional not to do it, because guess what? That comes with our old nature, isn't it? to try to promote ourselves by tearing someone else down.
you know, the world does that really well. We get to see that every time we turn on the television or read a news article or watch something. We see them tearing someone down so that they might look better. What a shame if that's how we as believers act, is going around actively working against what God is doing in somebody's life. And again, this is just an illustration. The hammer is just to remind us of that point. There are times that in construction, you need to take some things down to build back up again. I understand that, but that's, you know, all illustrations kind of die out at a point. But we need to be not working against what God is doing in somebody else's life. Secondly, this morning is that hammer just sitting there resting, doing nothing. I found a hammer one time alongside of the roadway. I think it's still in my pickup. Who knows with right now with tools how they're going in and out of my pickup all the time. Try to keep that in there. But it's probably the least used hammer I have. And at the time, it had been not used for a long time when I'd found it rusty in the ditch. A hammer doesn't do much good if it's not being used. A hammer is not accomplishing its task. I mean, if a hammer could, you know, sit there and tell you how it's feeling and it's been sitting up, sitting in underneath the seat of my pickup for a year, not ever being grabbed out, it might feel neglected. But when we are not building in someone's life or multiple people's lives, we are failing to work with God. The first one was we're working against God. We're actively working against what God is doing in that individual's life. This is one that we can maybe find ourselves falling into in a passive aspect of failing to work with God. We have to be intentional about things. We need to, and maybe this is the kind of the little more of a central point here this morning of the three, but to not be building in someone's life is failing to work with God. I think of the times as a teenager, my dad says, "Hey, come on, you want to come help me on stuff?" No. I just want to do whatever I'm doing that was probably worthless, you know, in the grand scheme of things, and I failed to have those opportunities. How many times has God placed someone on our heart that we can be a help and encouragement and a challenge to, and we are like, "No, Lord, I'm busy." I'm glad you pointed out. I'll just say a quick prayer for them and then keep going. Think of a pastor I had growing up, Gordon Dexter is his name. The example in that heart of actively working on someone's life, I very much learned from him from a believer standpoint. Pastor Dexter is always very prim and proper on things. His shoes are always freshly polished. For when I was growing up, he always wore a double-breasted suit. Going to the office, he was always wearing a suit going to the office and his hair just right. I think, you know, over the years, he is still very prim and proper that way, but not quite wearing the suit to the office anymore. But I know of an account of a lady in our church that he stopped by to visit her and, "How are you doing?" "I'm fine. Is there anything you need me to do?" No, "I'm fine." And, "Are you sure?" I'm here. I want to help." No, "Pastor, you're in your suit." No, "Tell me what it is." A mouse had died behind her refrigerator and she couldn't get it out. Pastor Dexter pulled that refrigerator out, cleaned up the mouse, cleaned behind the refrigerator for her, I think pulled out the stove and cleaned that. In his suit, down on his hand and knees. I'm sure he took off his jacket and tie, but there are those opportunities that "I'm sorry, a mouse died behind your fridge. I hope that clears up here pretty soon. Eventually it'll stop smelling." You know, how many times would that be kind of our action toward that? But when we're not building in someone's life, we must... We have to be intentional on some of these things. We have to be deliberate to be actually a help towards someone. In Hebrews 10, 24, it talks about, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And we know the verse 25, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another so and so much more as ye see the day approaching. But to examine, contemplate, deliberate, meditate over those things of how can I be a help? What is God doing in that person's life that I can be a help to? How can I be actively involved in that? It's easy for us to do the, and I'm not saying don't pray for people. I'm not saying that. It's easy just to say, well, I'll pray for you when they really need some other help as well. I know your pastor wouldn't do this, so I'm going to use him as an illustration that way. Someone comes up into the parking lot and says, you know what? I just needed to talk with somebody. I'm struggling. I have lots of questions. I'm really wondering if God is existing. I've just had so many things happen. I have lots of questions. And your pastor wouldn't say, well, okay, well, can I get your name? And I'll be praying for you. I'll add you to your prayer list. Have a good day. He wouldn't do that. We know that. Sometimes we wouldn't say that, we wouldn't do that in that instance, but sometimes we have the opportunities to actively, I'm not talking about pulling out a fridge out and cleaning out a mouse. Sometimes that's the case. But someone says, you know, I'm really struggling here. Or I'm not sure what to do. I'm scared. Well, what does God's word say? Helping them as what God is working on in their life. These things, you know, bring up questions, and you know, this, I'm questioning some of these things. Well, let's sit down and do this together. Let's do this as brother and brother, or brother and sister in the Lord, or sister and sister in the Lord. Let's look at what God is doing and how God is working. We must consider the impact in our own lives, even when we fail to work with God. There in Hebrews, as read this morning in Hebrews 3, verse 13, it says, exhort one another today while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sometimes when we read that passage, it's one of those where, well, I need to encourage, I need to exhort someone else so that they won't be hardened. Well, exhort one another while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened. Guess what? You can be included in that you. When we fail to work with God, and we fail to work with God, and we fail to work with God, do you think that really helps us be softened to what God is doing in other people's lives? Or does that sometimes harden ourselves? We know that habits can form quickly. Bad habits and good habits are harder to form. I don't know why that is, but bad habits especially can form quickly. When we dismiss the opportunities that God gives us, and we dismiss the opportunities that God gives us, how long does that take before we become hardened in those things? And we miss what God would have us to do. We are, after all, the same in Christ, aren't we? We are all part, I'm not saying we're all the same person and we all have the same abilities and tasks, but we are the same in Christ. God has forgiven each one of us that knows Christ as our Savior. We're not elevated one above another that way. We are all part of that household of God that God is continually working with and building up. And God has given us different opportunities, different abilities. We understand that. But let's be active as we look at in someone's life. But the not building in someone's life, not being involved, is failing to work with God. There's a lot of ways that we can fail to work with God. And maybe the Lord's laying some of those things in your own life, of those opportunities that are missed. I can think of opportunities missed in my own life. I can think of big opportunities and small opportunities. Some of those still weigh heavily on my heart, and I'm glad that they weigh heavily on my heart, of those, some of those missed opportunities. When I was in college, not long after Rebecca and I were married, Hurricane Katrina hit down Louisiana, and I had an opportunity to go down there at the college there. They asked me to lead a team and that I would be gone for a month and a half. I know to this day that's what God would have had me to do. But boy, I really had the list of excuses going on in my head. Well, I'm just married. I've not even been married 6 months, and now I'm going to be gone for up to 3 months leading these groups. Financially, things are tight for us. I'm trying to finish up schooling. Had all of these reasons not to go, and guess what? I didn't go. And I missed those opportunities to work with my father. I don't want that for anybody. I don't want you to miss the opportunities that God would have you to do for him. Thirdly, then, is building someone up. This is working alongside God. That's what we all want to do. That's how we would desire to be an encouragement to someone. The word to, you know, when we think of provoke or encourage or to build up, that all is pointing toward the same active part of our lives as a believer. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 speaks to that. It says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and that are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love and work for work's sake, and to be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, seeing that none render evil for evil unto that any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." You could continue to read in that passage and see even more opportunities and examples of that, of what we can do for actively building up in someone's life. To comfort the feeble-minded. You know, someone's just struggling with with how they're thinking through things. Having those thoughts that are leading them even in an unbiblical type of way, or weak in their mind that way. We can come alongside and say, you know what? This is what God's word says. This is how God's word has had an active impact in my life. I want you to have that. I don't want you to lose sight of what God is doing. Even as Rebecca and Natalie sang this morning about that narrow path, how many do not take and follow after that narrow path that God has that leads us toward him. Are we actively pursuing the opportunities that God gives us to build in someone's life? Your pastor isn't a good example, and I know you folks know that, of how he actively builds in someone's life. He's done that in your life. In each one of your lives, he's had that active building. He has worked alongside of his heavenly Father what he's doing in your life. You don't need to go any further than him for an example on that, but I know many of you, and many of you are excellent examples of how you work alongside of what God is doing in somebody's life. Because we all have different talents, different abilities to be able to do that. Some of you are great at being an encouragement. Some of you are excellent as prayer warriors. Some of you are say, you know what? God's giving you this hard time in your life. Let me come over and I'll change the oil for you. That's actively working. That can be actively working at what God's doing in their life. God's giving them sometimes a trial that the Lord will allow to build up in their life, and you can be that help and that encouragement. How many times have you had in your life just that small, simple act that someone has done for you, just been that encouragement from what the Lord's doing? It's sometimes those small little things that we look back and we say, you know what? God did this through this person in this time, and I know it was a simple thing for them, but man, what an impact it made in my own life. We want to be used of the Lord in those ways. We want to actively look for those opportunities. Sometimes, and that's a harder thing sometimes to do. as we think of an individual, and maybe the Lord's laid somebody on your heart, and you want to be a help to anyone and an encouragement, as you think of an individual, what do you have to figure out that's what God's doing in their life? That's part of it, is what, how is God working in their life right now? I've done construction over my adult life and even in my teen life, working along with my father. It's one thing just to grab plans and say, oh, there's a wall that needs to be built over here. I'm just going to go build it. Well, maybe that wall doesn't need to be built up right there yet. Maybe that's going to get in the way. There's an order that God does, and it's not always the same in each individual's life. God might be working on something with this individual over here and something on this individual over here and someone on something on this individual over here. It's not going to be all according to our same idea of what God should be doing. So we have to consider that individual. What is God doing in their life? How is God right now working in their life? And I want to work alongside him. I don't want to get in the way. I don't want to put things up that shouldn't be there. When, you know, building some exterior walls, you have your, you know, you have 2x4, sometimes 2x6 just sitting there to hold that wall up while the other walls are being constructed. And eventually those have to come down. And if you just leave those things propped up, they get in the way. We don't want to get in the way of what God's doing in somebody else's life. As we consider what God is doing, how God is working in an individual's life, we want to then need, it needs to be some study on our part. Okay, God's working, and we'll just give working on patience in that person's life, and I can see that. And I want to be a help to that. We should be digging into God's word on our own, on looking at those areas, and say, you know what? I know you've told me you've been working on patience recently, and I was praying about that this week, and I did some studying on that this week, and you know what? In my study, I found this, and this was, I hadn't seen that before, and I just thought of you, and I know you told me last week that God was working on patience in your life, and I just wanted to share that with you. That takes some work and effort on our part, and it should take some work and effort on our part. We don't want to be flippant when it comes towards our encouragement and building one another up as believers. We should be striving to be better builders that way, better in construction along with the Lord. And then lastly, our bonus point. Building. So this is one that I ended up kind of adding on. Building where we shouldn't is working apart from God. And in this one, we could get off into the weeds a little bit. We won't do that. Building apart from God. There are some times as believers, we like to set up boundaries that God hasn't set up. And we want to put up boundaries where God hasn't put boundaries. And we say, no, but you have to do it this way, because this is what I do in my life. And so you have to do it this way. Not according to God's word, but I'm a good believer, and so I think it should be there. Galatians 2:6. So this is, even if we feel it would be better, this is kind of a subpoint under that, even if we feel it would be better to draw a line safer than what God drew, that is working apart from what God has done. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For though the law, or through the law, I am dead to the law, but I might live unto God. We know that in the New Testament time, there were a New Testament church. They were dealing with Judaizers trying to come in and add the law to what Christ has already done. And that gives us that picture. They were building apart from what God was doing. God had already said, no, this is what I've done. I've been that fulfillment of the law here. And they were trying to add to that. Paul had to confront Peter about that. Paul had to go to Peter and say, you know what? You're building where you shouldn't. You are working apart from what God is doing here to these believers. He didn't say those words. I know that. We understand where those conversations could be. So sometimes we have a tendency to build apart from God of setting up things that God did not have. And then other time is we take away things that maybe we shouldn't take away. So 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient or prudent. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Well, I have freedom in the Lord to do these things. So even if we have the liberty to build, if it isn't building up in the way that God would have us to build up, then it's still building apart from God. We have a lot of liberty in Christ, and ultimately that liberty is to do right before the Lord. That's what the greatest part, I believe, of that liberty that we have in Him is to that liberty to do right before Him. So sometimes we can say, well, yes, these things are good, but I'm going to go ahead and do things my own way. I have the liberty to do so. Well, it's not for edifying then that we see here. It may not be for edifying, not there in 1 Corinthians. That idea of edifying, encouraging, building one another up, hopefully you'll think of a hammer in the coming weeks as you have opportunity. Am I tearing someone down? Am I working against what my Father is doing in their life? Am I seeing that opportunity and just standing by and failing to work with what God's doing? Yes, God's given me the ability. Yes, God's given me an opportunity, but somebody else can do it. And just laying there. Or are we intentional in our walk with the Lord and intentional with our fellow believers and building some and to actively edify, to actively build up, to work alongside God? And if you think about that illustration a little bit further, what are we? We end up being that hammer that God can use in someone's life. Not knocking them upside the head, I'm not saying it that way. But we can be used as that hammer that God uses to help equip and build each other up. God uses us as believers in one another's life. It's one of the ways the Holy Spirit works and does accomplishes His goals and His desires here on this world is working through us as believers. And this hammer says Sam on it. So as you can think of, you could grab your own hammer, and if you want, you put your name on the bottom of it, and you can remind yourself of these things. Pastor, if you'd come.
Thank you, brother. Stand with me, if you will. We'll go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on what we heard today. Exhort one another daily. That is a command from God's Word. And we are in that business. And we have opportunities all around us as you see people standing next to you. Those are our opportunities. Let's exhort one another daily. Let's look at our own lives and what God has given us to do. Let's ask if we're following that command of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the message from your word. Thank you, Father, for the fact that we are partners with you in the ministry and in the ministry of people's lives. We thank you for that. But Father, we know that often we turn away from our responsibilities or we neglect it. Sometimes, Father, we're just not doing the same work that you're doing. Help us to see these things clearly. Search our hearts and help us, Father, to know how to exhort one another and how to do it daily. So bless in our lives as we think about these things, as we sing a song this morning, and as we ask you to search our hearts for these things. We'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So Gordon's going to come and lead us in a song. You respond to this message as the Lord leads you to respond. Gordon, come ahead.